pack an overnight bag. That's Connecticut Governor Dan Malloy's advice to commuters making their way into New York City this week. Amtrak service is shut down between New Haven, Connecticut, and New York City after Friday's train collision and derailment that injured about 70 people. Amtrak officials aren't saying when things will get back to normal on the country's busiest rail corridor, but service is affected as far north as here in Boston, where people are scrambling to book buses. Ted Mann is a transportation reporter at the Wall Street Journal. And Ted, how bad was the commute this morning?
Well, we're hearing some reports about pretty heavy traffic in southwestern Connecticut, and there also are some reports of not particularly crowded trains, because those Metro-North trains that are running are not going the whole length of the New Haven Line route, and those passengers who might ordinarily board in Bridgeport are having to take another route to get into the city.
Ah, so they didn't even bother getting on the trains because they knew it wouldn't get them far.
Right. Well, I'm sure some did, some hardy souls, but there are plenty of others who are carpooling or driving themselves.
As we looked at video of the crash site, it was hard to believe there weren't more injuries. Would you remind us what happened and how bad the damage is?
Well, Friday evening, an eastbound train somehow derailed, and they're still trying to find that out, and wound up in the path of a westbound commuter train that sort of sideswiped it. They didn't hit quite head-on, which is a really lucky thing, because both trains were going about 70 miles an hour just before the crash. And we know at least 70 people were hurt, and there seemed to have been quite lucky that no one died.
Ted, as you know, covering transportation, Amtrak is under constant financial pressure. How much of a financial hit do you think the cost of this derailment will be to them?
They are not answering questions about that just yet, but certainly this is a big interruption for the most heavily traveled route that Amtrak runs. It's about 750,000 people a day on the whole Northeast Corridor. That would be a smaller segment between New York and Boston, but still a pretty significant hit to their revenue.
As bad as this rail accident was, you've written that it wouldn't have had such a big impact on commuters if it weren't for the very bad timing of a section of rail where this happened, undergoing right now an upgrade. How does that complicate the situation?
Right. It happened in one of the worst possible spots for this to happen, on the New Haven Line, which is the stretch of track between New York City and New Haven, Connecticut, which is operated by Metro-North, but on which Amtrak's trains run. They're upgrading the catenary wires, those overhead cables that power the trains, and as part of that project, which also involves replacing some bridges, they've had to take two of the four sets of tracks out of service. In this particular 7-mile stretch, it's down to only two tracks, and that's where the trains collided. What that meant was, because of the wreckage of the cars and also the damage done to the rails, there's no way to run a train through.
Whereas if they hadn't shut down the other two rails, they could have possibly switched to those rails.
Right. There would at least have been the possibility that you could have diverted trains around, and that's probably what Amtrak and what Metro-North also would be doing. So you'd have deeply affected service, but it wouldn't have been the total severance of the passageway right there.
We've read that when transportation officials made the decision to reduce that section of track from 4 lanes to 2, they acknowledged that it created a vulnerability, you know, meaning not much of a backup plan if something went wrong. And it looks here like obviously the odds did not work out in their favor.
That's right. And the vulnerability, you know, they don't even necessarily mean catastrophe in that situation. It really lessens their flexibility to move multiple trains through this corridor. So they were already operating with essentially a handicap. And then if something terrible goes wrong, as it did on Friday, you're really in a pickle.
Is anyone questioning whether the rail reduction was a poor decision, or did it just have to be done at some point and the timing was not good?
You know, in this area, they're replacing bridges that are two tracks wide. So there's, according to the railroad, there's just really no alternative to that. You have to take both tracks out. The overall project is behind schedule, expensive, but I don't think there's anyone arguing that it's not necessary. They're replacing catenary wires, in some cases, that were hung in 1907, that are incredibly old. The structures are, you know, in really dilapidated condition. And when the project's complete, they'll be eliminating a major problem that's weather-related on this part of the tracks. And when it gets hot, the overhead power lines start to droop. It really affects the speed at which trains can go through. So when the project's over, the corridor will be in much better shape.
So overall, has this project raised even more questions about the infrastructure of our railways and the condition of that infrastructure?
You better believe it. I think the fact that some of this equipment has stayed in place for so long is in its, you know, just the fact that it's of that age suggests that we have not done the amount of infrastructure investment that a lot of people are saying we should. Whether this prompts people to you know, meaning the government of Connecticut, Metro North, Amtrak, the federal government, to throw more money into making these projects go faster is an open question. But certainly there will be people calling for that.
The National Transportation Safety Board doesn't expect to have an official report on what happened for months. But in the meantime, briefly, any sense of when things might get back to normal?
By the end of this week, Metro North expects to have some degree of repair done and to be able to move trains through that section of affected track. But it's not clear that that means that those two tracks will be back to where they were on Friday morning. And I think probably into next week, you'll still see some limitation on service or some workarounds as both the railroads get back up to speed. But they say that they're trying to do, you know, as much as they can, as fast as possible to restore everything.
That's Wall Street Journal transportation reporter Ted Mann. Ted, thank you.
Thank you.